Get RAC life insurance and be rewarded with discounted movie tickets. That's the power of membership. Visit rac.com.au/life. RAC life insurance. For the better. Issued by AIA Australia. Check the PDS. Member benefit T's and C's apply.
Recently, we've been looking at statistics and also, sadly, recent events that show domestic violence is rife in Australia. I suppose we should ask the question, is it rife? Or is it one of those things that when it comes to the fore, it just smacks you in the face like a piece of 4x2 between the eyes? There's no doubt that everyone gets upset when it happens, but nothing gets done. So here's the question. What can be done about it? And that's actually a very, very complicated question. On face value, it seems fairly simple, but I'm absolutely certain that is not the case. There's no doubt it starts with education, educating boys and girls about acceptable behaviour and what's not acceptable. And the way people interact nowadays, I mean, more and more people are disconnected. And I've always thought that one of the fundamental things, I'm no expert in this regard, but I've always believed one of the fundamental things that causes these problems is an inability to communicate. If you see two people who can communicate with each other, they're less likely to get into some sort of conflict that might escalate to a physical conflict. Even think about this. You've got two blokes at the pub and they're getting aggro with each other. If there is an ability to verbalise what they're thinking and resolve it, it's less likely to result in a fist fight. And that pretty well applies to anything. And I know that our lawyer, John Butler's really big on this. He talks about conflict resolution and people being able to have a conversation, even if it's on something over which they disagree, but still coming to a point where they understand each other's position, respect each other's position, and don't feel the need to get physical about it. And the problem is, if we don't display equality in society, how can we address the issue? Of course, yes, it does start in the home and at school. And it can be something as simple as blokes looking at their dads doing their share of the household and being respectful to their mother. There's a whole raft of issues that surround this. And I'd have to say, too, it also is a two-way street. Because if one person doesn't show you respect, you're not going to show them respect. And think about that for a moment. Think of somebody, and we all have somebody in their life, they haven't shown an inch of respect. And you know that deep down, all you have is contempt for that individual because you see them as a loathsome human being. And I still believe that that sort of thing can also be displayed with somebody with whom you ostensibly love. We're joined on the program by a person who does know a bit more about this sort of stuff. Her name is Lasan Irix, and Lasan is a conflict resolution expert. Hi, Lasan. You have got an incredibly difficult job, I would have thought.
Hi, Chris. Yes, I do. I mean, in my role as a family mediator, I deal with domestic violence on, you know, because it's in the family law context and people who separate. So I speak to people who are in that situation on a weekly basis. So I do have some experience with what it's like for people and what it does to people.
Is it a difficult area in which to work? We look at this and it certainly looks like something that we say, hey, this should be easy, but we know that it's not. And I suppose we come down to the question, why is it not?
I think domestic violence, it's really complex. A lot of times people don't know it's happening. It happens behind closed doors. And often it's also in families that people don't expect it from. So it gets really well disguised. And the person who it's happening to, the victim, sometimes I speak to women who have experienced it, but until I'm speaking to them and I'm saying this is not okay behaviour, they don't even realise it's happening. And the best analogy I can make for it, Chris, and I don't know if it's a good one or not, I'll do that up to you, but is when you put a frog in hot water, it would jump out, but it's dangerous and it would run for the hills. But if you put a frog in cold water and you heat it up slowly, it will die in the pot. And that's a little bit how domestic violence works. It never starts out how it ends. So it's like little increments, a little bit more control, a little bit more of this, maybe then there's some violence, maybe because domestic violence is much wider than often we look at sexual abuse or physical abuse, but there is so much more to it. You know, it's financial abuse, verbal abuse, controlling behaviours, so, you know, alienating people from their support network. So it is much more complex than just looking at if someone gets hit by someone. And often people don't even know how they ended up there because it slowly happened over time.
How do you define that? For example, if you look at violence in terms of physical violence, mm-hmm. that's something you would argue would predominantly be male to female.
Yes. Well, with all of this, sometimes it does happen the other way around. But in general, with all of the violence, it is the statistics show that it's much more male to female. But it doesn't mean it never happens the other way around.
Yeah, I would argue verbally, it's probably more equal.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the statistics in front of me, so I don't know about that. But I guess from a domestic violence, and for the definition of domestic violence, it happens a lot more. Women are much more victims.
So generally speaking, we're usually talking about something that becomes physical or doesn't start out that way but ultimately ends that way.
It doesn't always have to become physical to be violent. So it's, for example, financial abuse is when you can't actually spend anything without, you know, you have to ask permission, for example, and you have to say to someone, so where, you know, what do you spend that $2 on? And you get a little budget, but it's never quite enough. So you have to, you know, keep asking someone, and someone just decides if you can or cannot. So it's very controlling. It's about
that's an interesting point. Where does that become, in your opinion, some form of abuse, and where is it arguably frugality? Let's look at an example, indulge me in an example, if you will. Mm. You have a couple, one who is quite frugal and has always been quite frugal with money and doesn't want to see money wasted. Another partner who doesn't give a rat's about money, basically, for whatever reason, whether they were never taught about it or whether they came from a situation where there was an abundance of it, so it was never a concern, whatever the reason. You have two people who have a completely different view. Now, if, and let's use the bloke in this particular instance is the frugal one, just for our example only, and the woman is will spend money like it's going out of fashion, doesn't care, doesn't have any sort of boundary where that's regarded. If he tries to keep some sort of control over the spending, where does that become frugality, where you might say it's somebody logically trying to manage the family finances? And where does that become abuse? And more importantly, Lisanne, where do you find the line?
Well, I think it's a difficult question. I mean, I get what you're trying to say. I think if you are a healthy couple, you have a conversation about this, and then, you know, what, like you said in your opening, you respect each other and you come to an agreement together and say, okay, so how can we manage that? I recognise that I just don't spend too much. I may be a bit too frugal. Let's just figure something out. And okay, so we set a budget that I give you because I know you're not great with money, and then we work it out or something like that, right? So people have a conversation. But I think when it comes to domestic violence, it's not a conversation. It's not an agreement. Someone is imposing something on someone because they're the superior one in the relationship, and it's not. And also with financial abuse, you know, again, it's very complex, so I'm generalizing here, but it can be that it's also that, you know, it's not quite enough, so someone has to come and ask and things like that. If it makes sense. So it's if people really don't feel freedom and they can't do anything of their own accord and always have to ask permission, I think it's tricky. But I'm not saying that everything is financial abuse and the line is very blurry, but often financial abuse is not the only thing that happens. So it's also around what else is going on.
It's interesting that you talk about this and saying, I'm speaking in general terms. Is that part of the problem, that each case is almost in and of itself unique? And so therefore, even though we're looking at something and saying we want a general picture here, it quite often can be so specific that it's very, very hard to create this general picture.
Yes, it is hard. But things like what's been talked about in the media, what is something that I, you know, teach about is coercive control. We know what that is. Like, it's coercive controls around, you know, having someone diminishing their self-esteem. And it is true finances. It is true, you know, not having support. It is, you know, you don't have to go to work. You don't, so isolating people. It is, you know, nothing is ever good enough. Things like that. We do know what it looks like. So in that sense, it is general, but obviously people have very different circumstances, and the same package can look different, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. How do you envisage we deal with this going forward?
Yeah, and again, I'm not preaching that I can have an answer to this, but I think, you know, teach and educate what
we're looking for. We're looking for ideas, I suppose.
Yeah,
that's
right.
See, one of the great problems I see, and I do see this as a problem, as we move on, certainly the younger generations are less and less communicating face-to-face. They're doing more communication electronically where they're not actually talking to each other. That, I would argue, one of the downsides of that is it would be reducing the ability of people just to sit down and have a conversation. Now, you and I are having a conversation tonight. You and I could have a casual conversation. And if we have to have a serious conversation, then you need to be in a position where you can actually engage and maintain a serious conversation. And I wonder if we aren't losing that to a certain extent, which could in some way exacerbate this problem.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. I think for me, one of the main things is that we actually as a society have to recognise that we have to do something. I heard someone say this week, and I thought it was a great example, that if we had shark attacks, like every week someone would die from a shark attack, which like domestic violence, once every week a female gets killed by a former or a current partner, we would drain the ocean is what the comment was. So, you know, I think as a society we haven't made it an urgency where every time it happens we go, oh my God, it's so upsetting, and then everyone just goes back to, you know, their business. So I think that's one of the things, to teach people what's acceptable behaviour and not, and if they don't talk anymore because they're on social media, you know, I guess encourage that people communicate again, but also explain to people what domestic violence is and how it works, because there's a lot of misunderstanding around it. And I find that victims of domestic violence, they get judged, they get told they're crazy, there is no support for them. You know, there needs to be more funding for places where they can go, because if you can imagine, if you experience violence, often you also don't have money because there is financial control and then you have nowhere to go. So it's very difficult to leave.
Nowadays, there are so many families where dad is absent, or unfortunately, there might be a myriad of different boyfriends who come through, to the point that there isn't a solid male role model for the females in the household.
A role model, a male role model and a female role model are important for kids, like both male and female. So yep. For boys to see how they treat people, for girls to get great self-esteem from. So yeah, it's definitely an issue. And I think people don't focus enough on that. But I don't have an answer for if people don't want to do that. I mean, you can't force people, but those kids are already on the back foot in that regard.
Isn't it funny? We're having a conversation, and as we have a conversation, we're actually generating more and more questions.
Yeah, but probably. But I think the other thing is that we know that that is happening, though, and I think that we can try to see if we can fix that. But I think before we have fixed that, we need to really do look at the domestic violence is happening and that needs to be dealt with. We can also do all the other education and talk about equality and how can it get better in general in society. But I think as a society, we need to stop tolerating and educating people on what domestic violence is, and so people can recognise it for themselves, but also maybe people can help recognising other people that it's happening to them and give them support. And also, you know, as we saw with Hannah Clark, a violence restraining order didn't help her either. So the system also have to look at what can they do to protect people from people that are, you know, harmful to them. And if we know the coercive control has a particular pattern as well, so if we know how that pattern goes, what can we do to prevent to get to the end? Because often when females leave the situation, that's when it gets most dangerous, because the perpetrator of the violence loses complete control over what they do, and that's something that's really hard for them to deal with. So the ultimate control is obviously, well, you know, what happened to her? She was killed, because, you know, that was his ultimate, I guess, controlling behaviour, because he didn't know what else to do. I'm not sure what went around in his head, and I'm not going to try to make assumptions around that, but that's often what happened. So, yeah, it's something that we definitely have to deal with as a society. And I think it's been so much in the media this week that people are waking up to it, I hope, because I guess from my point of view, when I was watching the media, it was almost like this is a new thing and it just happened and everyone's so shocked. Well, we all know it's happening all the time. Like Hannah Clark and her kids are not the only one.
Lasan, we're out of time. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Lasan Irix is a conflict resolution expert.
RAC Life Insurance cares for your family's tomorrow. Buy online and save 10% today at rac.com.au/life. RAC Life Insurance. For the better. Issued by AIA Australia. Check the PDS.